Thanks for joining us for another week of Take Two. It is May 7th. It feels like summer out there. The winds of change are blowing, though. So get ready for maybe more snow. We'll find out. But politically, another exciting week. We've already been told by Greg Hughes he's ready to launch.
I am ready
like
to go.
Like an Atlas rocket.
Locked and loaded. I am ready.
Did any of you guys see the Starlink satellites this week? That's what everyone's talking about.
The what?
The Starlink satellites. You know, when you go outside and all of a sudden it looks like aliens.
I just saw the coverage.
Yeah. Anyhow,
did you see them in real life?
I did not see them in real life either, but every time there's a new launch, it seems like people see them. So not aliens, just Starlink satellites, and a whole lot happening.
At least
down
that's
on
what
Earth.
People are telling us.
That's what they're telling us, but we'll find out in 30 years.
I never slow down to even notice that there are stars in the sky. That's
oh my
like
gosh,
that's like
Greg.
News to me when my kids force me to look up in the air, and I'm like, whoa, look at that. Anyway.
So well, times
not
are
even
changing.
Stars, let alone satellites.
Times are changing. Here at Sinclair Broadcast Group and KUTV2 News, we are welcoming back all of the people that have been gone for 14 months in about 30 days. We're excited to have people coming back. We just had a meeting about that. So things are changing.
Yay.
I'm excited about that. But with those changes, there's some growing pains or backward. I don't even know what you'd call them. But let me go over the headlines here from this week. So there were some parents. I don't even know if they're parents, but some adults acting like children, showed up to some meetings for boards. I think there's been two or three meetings now to school board meetings where they go and protest masks. Mind you, we've got 3 weeks left. We've got some Utah businesses saying masks are gone. Some are saying if you bring in your exclusive vaccination card, you can get in. So we've got very different things going on. Let's start with the parent protest here. Mara, did you see the video? It was a little crazy from the Granite District this
week. It was completely crazy. It was another round of embarrassing social media video in terms of, as you said, how adults are acting. My overall theme for where we are in COVID is, one, isn't it great that we've moved into a new phase? And two, as we get rid of the mandates, I think it's a nice refresh button to say, okay, no one's mandating. We can let go of the government's making us do it. And what about if we just go back to being considerate, kind people? Because I was in a meeting yesterday with a woman who had her mask on, and most people didn't have their masks on. And someone asked her about it, and she said, no problem, I'm not offended. She went on to explain she has MS, and she just changed drugs. And she's like, I'm being super careful. My doctor told me to be super careful for a couple of months. And she said, but I'm not asking you. I feel comfortable where you are. And, you know, she was a good example of when we're in transition, I've started more to go in. I've been in the rooms where we all check and see if we all feel comfortable. But we also, if someone says I don't, I'm not sweating that I have to put on a mask for 45 minutes for somebody else. And I hope because we can get over the political mandate discussion, we could just go with actually being human beings who are thoughtful of each other, and now that we can make our own choices, why don't we just make a choice to be a good neighbor?
Good neighbor sounds good to me, and I guess part of the thing that was interesting to me, Greg, about these meetings is that we literally have, I think at this point, 15 days of school left.
Right.
I think my kids are over masks. I'm sick of them wearing masks to schools, but I'm like, it's 3 weeks, so giddy up. I know the state mandate is gone, but 3 weeks. We can push through this.
Well, I think that you have a few things going on. One, I think that the frustration that you saw, it's actually gotten national media attention as well. It's a growing frustration. But it comes right at in the same very week where the whole state of Utah said if we have so few cases per 100,000 people,
correct,
and you have over 1.6 million Utahns vaccinated, and 15% of our ICU beds are COVID.
Or less, yeah.
Then all government restrictions will be then lifted, which means that our children wearing these masks are the only ones that are now required to have this precaution or have these masks. We know these children are not the at-risk population and that they were asked to wear those masks to protect adults. Where you then many parents feel like their kids are being treated like, you know, that as shields. It's not for the children's safety, it's for the adults that are around them. And when they came to the public hearing to speak on this issue, there was not that public hearing portion, which in many, as we well know in public hearings, the ability to speak and at least communicate that to the board is an important component, which was not going to be allowed. And that's where you saw the fireworks. I'll say this, when I chaired our Public Education House Standing Committee, there were a couple topics, maybe more than a couple, on education where I knew that parents were going to come exercised, frustrated, and having something to say about a bill that we were considering. Sometimes I even asked a state trooper to be in the hearing, in the meeting, and I would say, look, when you mess with Mama Bear and Papa Bear's cubs, it is the case that this is about as emotional when you get to public policy as you can get. but we need it. We need to be deliberative. We can't have cheering, jeering, boos. We need good information to be shared, so there needs to be decorum. At no point did I think or say, I'm so offended that people would come here angry or frustrated. You got to prepare for these things. And if those school board members didn't think
that we're parents. See, but you can be angry and frustrated and under control. Don't you think they got kind of out of control?
I do, but it was because they were denied the opportunity to speak. And I think that's where the frustration boils over.
So where's accountability? I mean, we're just asking for decorum. Okay, that wasn't decorum.
Okay, yeah. But the irony I'm having is we're saying this in a year where we have looting and rioting and burning down people's businesses, and we have Capitol Hill autonomous zones and people getting assaulted and killed. And we're going to spend all this time not being able to understand why parents are so frustrated with how they feel their children are being treated right now. It should be the most intuitive emotion of all the public issues. And we are enduring a lot of violence
in this country. I'm going to contend, though, the differences, Greg. This isn't on behalf of the children.
Where's the decorum of Black Lives Matter? Where's the decorum of Antifa?
I don't think this is an outcry from children's rights.
It's selective outrage.
No, this isn't true. This is about wearing a mask, and they're projecting onto their kids so they can be angry.
They're not being restricted. They feel that this is hurting their children. They believe this, and they want to share that perspective. I think it's completely reasonable. As far as these businesses go, I'm so interested to see how the free market, if you have to show your COVID pass to get into a place, you're limiting your population or not. I don't know. We'll see if the Bayou does well with that COVID passport that you need to get into their building.
Yeah, it could go either way. So the free market will be interesting Bayou downtown, I think, opened for the first time. They've been closed aside from to-go orders, I think. So they're opening for the first time, and you have to have your vaccination card. So they're obviously limiting theirs.
Yeah.
And then across the street, we have another bar. I don't know, is it the Scottish Pub? I forget which one it is, but there's one that opened up and said, if you want to wear a mask, fine. If you don't want to, fine. Come on in and have a good time. So it'll be interesting to see, will people stay away from there? Because some people are like, I want to wear my mask. Or will, which way will it go? So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
I am dying to see how that all rolls out. Consumer choice. I can't wait to see.
And it'll keep changing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll keep changing.
For sure. I think everybody will react to how people respond to those requirements.
We'll just have more information. We know that the good weather helps people have alternative activities. We're all ready to go out. But I do think I'm going to go back to my Pollyanna start with that is like most of this could just be found in being courteous too.
Absolutely.
Again, I'm refusing to believe that slapping a mask on myself is like the worst thing I've ever been asked to do as a citizen.
This is why I'm saying when private businesses are making decisions like this, The greatest emotion I feel is curiosity. I want to see how, I'm not outraged. I want to see how it works. But the school board meeting, it's your kid. And I'm telling you, there's just a whole different emotion on public policy. Yeah,
I'm not
going to
ever excuse people being out of control. They can be passionate.
You know there's
they
not
can
a person
be upset.
On this podcast that if someone you thought were hurting your kid or
I got overly
your kid,
passionate
you
in favor of
your
my
back
child
wouldn't
today.
Be up. I'm looking at two mama bears that would absolutely defend their kids and would not apologize for doing it.
I am not talking about defending. I'm talking about the means, not the action.
I am getting mad at these parents for being out of control, and I admit my daughter got a speeding ticket, and she called and paid for said speeding ticket today. It was in Logan, and then as soon as she paid for it, she asked how she signs up for the class. You know how you can take that driver's course so you can keep it off your record? The lady's like, I'm sorry, I closed your case. You can't do that now. So she hung up, and my daughter was upset, so I called the court back up, and I was like, listen, I'm sure you can open it. Can she please sign up for the class? And she's like, no, she would have had to do that first. And I'm like, well, don't you think you should have told her that? So she's like, it's irreversible. And I was not, very happy with this woman because
I know that they make those records in stone.
I know, but the funny thing is they probably get people fighting tickets all the time, and they just don't want to mess with people. But I was like, listen, my daughter was reasonable. She didn't fight with you. She paid her ticket. Can we please sign her up for the class? And she's like, I'm sorry, it's closed. It's not reversible. And I got mad, and I was like, everything's reversible but murder. And she's just like, she hung up. And I was like, why
thank you, Heidi.
That?
You
and
just made my point.
And
you
my
just went right
like,
there.
You're making it worse. And I'm like, okay, Mama Bear needs to
yep, Mama Bear,
down.
Mama
let
Bear,
the children
those
lead.
Cubs. Don't mess with the cubs. That's what I'm telling you.
I know.
Don't mess with the cubs.
Oh my gosh, you're out of control. The
empathy. That's empathetic to understand. We're talking about our cubs here.
The other business I wanted to mention, I haven't seen a lot of other businesses say that they're going maskless. I'm sure that there are some small local businesses that are, but Hell Center Theater, which welcomes thousands of guests every night, said masks are welcome but not required. My daughter, whom I was mama bearing, works there, and last night was, I think, the second or third night this has happened, And she said there's probably about 90% who don't wear masks, 10% who do. She seemed like everything was amicable. Everyone who works there still is. I was interested to see if people would cancel because they said they'd give you a refund if you didn't want to come. But the shows are sold out and it hasn't changed. So another one that we're watching closely.
I see this geographically. As I get closer to Salt Lake City, there are more patrons that want to wear masks where these restrictions have been lifted. And the further south I go, it's some signs say, like you just mentioned, you know, encouraged or we'd like you to, but not required. And then some have taken off the don't even mention it anymore. And so as you go south of Salt Lake City, I see less people putting masks on. But I have yet to go into a commercial establishment where someone isn't, like a convenience store or something, where someone isn't wearing a mask. And so, but I'm not like aghast by it or offended either way. I'm not offended for those that do. I'm not offended for those that don't. It is what it is. And I think that's Mara.
Peace on earth.
That's what you're talking about, right?
It is going to be interesting as more and more get blended and we'll have 100 different rules, right? We're going to have 100 different requirements and we're just going to have to roll.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to mention really quickly, a change of topics here. The Utah Supreme Court ruled on a case this week that was a big deal for the transgender community. They ruled in a 4-1 decision that judges statewide need to grant what they call gender marker changes to transgender individuals. Mara, does this make a big difference? This is basically means so if you were assigned a male at birth, you can change it to female so it matches the life that you live. Does it make a big difference?
I mean, it's a really big deal for transgendered people, partly because it brought up this need to out themselves every time you handed a driver's license.
There's always a conversation.
That wasn't. Yeah, and I think this was smart. They heard the decision or they heard the case in 2018, so they've deliberated for quite a while, so I think there was some relief from the community. The other really interesting component of this that they were the one dissenter, the crux of the ruling was about who had jurisdiction, the judiciary or the legislature. And where they landed was that, in fact, the judiciary had the purview in this instance. And so the courts could rule on this. And it really just standardized how the lower courts were acting. You know, we had the majority of courts were following the gender marking and a smaller degree weren't. But what was an interesting component is they essentially said in this instance, it was a legal issue, not a legislative issue. And I thought that might filter over into other transgender discussions as we see or don't see bills about this community. But I think it was a huge relief for those who have just wanted to change their markers on their official documents.
Yeah. It's something that I guess most of us don't think about every day, but if it's something you live and there's things that every time you have to show your driver's license for that something doesn't mesh up, it seems like it's probably a good decision.
I think it's fine, especially, I will say this, adults and how they want to do this, given the times in the world we live in, fine. Where I see trouble on the horizon is if you have a boy that is identifying themselves as a girl and they want to play a girl's sport in high school, and I'm not even including the NCAA in this, I'm just going to narrow it down to our local communities and our school districts. If there are boys playing girl sports and there are girls that are displaced from rosters because of it, or the competition is changed because you have boys playing in girl high school sports, I think this community will not be okay with that. I've seen parents in high schools where the curriculum, once you get in high school, isn't as important as the activities and the sports and everything else. That takes a pretty high priority inside these communities and these families and in these schools. If you see that scenario roll out, I think there's going to be a significant pushback in our community in Utah.
And that approach, I think, is sort of why I like the precedents that the Supreme Court just laid down that said this is a personal issue and this is an issue about the individual who owns the ID. And I think that sets a nice precedent for those legislators who want it to be about them.
I think that's a great one for adults. I think in the minors and in kids that are less than 18, I think there's still the discussion we had there.
Speaking of adults, the First Lady of the United States of America made a trip to Utah. We haven't had one for a while. Michelle Obama was the last First Lady I remember coming to Utah, and she did not have any public appearances. I think it was a money stop kind of ATM fundraising in Park City. Greg, were you invited?
I'm off the list. I don't know how this happened.
So
I didn't get a list. I'm shocked by this. I don't understand. They keep calling her Dr. Jill Biden. I mean,
she is a doctor.
A doctorate. I get it, but I don't see the word. I just thought she was a physician for the longest time. I thought that maybe she could, you know, help on some medical maladies maybe, but no, nah, she's what is she a doctor of?
Before it's Greg finishes, I'm just going to say when they go low, we go high, and I'm going to ignore that part of Greg's speech and just say, hey, this was a moment. This MD. Was a lovely moment. A First Lady Cox.
I'm excited she's here.
Joined her.
I just picked out the doctor.
Yeah, we heard the sexism. So, so
it wasn't. I thought she was an MD. And
so I thought this was a great event on both sides. First Lady Cox joined her at Glendale. It was a positive message that both Republicans and Democrats share. It was a focus on kids. It had some focus on some underserved kids and some special needs kids. And this would have been a nice moment for Greg to just say, isn't it nice that she stopped
for
a minute?
Well, yes, because you interrupted me. I was just about to say she picked up anything
from the ATMs. And I think this is, I mean, clearly it's part of a larger tour, but I appreciated that Mrs. Cox came. I appreciated that other elected officials came from both sides of the aisle, and I thought it was a nice press.
I can say what Democrats wouldn't say about Melania, our former first lady.
She had a PhD.
Is that she's a wonderful person, a great leader with great causes that we are fortunate in Utah to have her stop by and see these kids and feel of her leadership. I would have said the same for the last first lady.
It's too late.
But you wouldn't.
What I'd like to see is that who knows if it's just for show or if it's really wanting to talk to people in different communities. But I like that Utah's not being forgotten. We see it in campaigns. We see it other times that it's just like, that state doesn't matter. So I do like that even if it's just for a couple hours that Utah is one of the 50 states and being treated as
she
such.
She didn't
so that
fly
was
over
nice.
And that was
yes,
nice.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
So it seems like it's been a year ago, but the GOP convention happened on Saturday. So everybody was waiting to see if Senator Romney would be censured. In the end, he was not. The vote was 798 to 711 against it, so censure failed. You were there, Greg. Mm-hmm. There was booing going on. Were you one of the people booing?
I was out in the concourse, but I heard it, and I will admit that nothing but approval. I thought that it was
absolutely
appropriate.
So you would have booed if you were in there.
Yeah. I think that, look, you earn your applause, you earn your boos. Well, it is not a participation trophy. It is not a golf clap. If you are a public servant and you're in front of those delegates and they are excited and happy for you and you've earned their applause, you're going to get the applause. If they feel like you've let them down and they're disappointed by your service, it doesn't reflect what they want, they can boo. And
I don't think there's any, absolutely not.
In fact, because he wasn't censured. Now, there's an interesting thing about the timing of all this. The delegates that register and get credentialed, there's more at the beginning of the morning when they start than at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The censure vote took place at the very, very end, and many people were complaining, saying, look, if you're mad, you're going to stay longer. If you're happy, you're going to get on with your Saturday. So they thought it was a rigged-up timing of the censure vote to wait for the most strident and most angry delegates to only be left to actually vote to censure Senator Romney. The fact that it was the last item, well, hours after that, the booze, that he was not censured, I think what it is, they're saying, we're not happy with you. We don't like what you did. You swung and you missed. But when it came down to an official censure vote, you know, you can't say that these delegates are all foaming at the mouth and so divisive when they ultimately, as the last item on the agenda with less delegates there than what started, ultimately decided that they didn't want the party to eat themselves or to divide. They didn't vote to censure him. I think that it's the boos are fine, just like the applause when you earn it. And look, if what's going on in this country with all the destruction, riots, looting, all that's going on, if the boo birds are keeping you up at night, you aren't paying attention to what's happening in this country. There's a lot of things to worry about. Boo birds aren't one of them.
Were you surprised, Mara, that they did not censure?
I wasn't, and let me tell you, I'm going to swim against the pundit stream here because I thought the pundits, when I listened to the recap of the convention, I thought we went cheap and easy on it. Here was my take. Romney won the day, and let me tell you why. He won the day because, one, he joined a long line of people that include Bob Bennett and Mike Leavitt and Orrin Hatch. And he joined a long line of well-established Republicans in being booed at this particular forum. So, one, I don't
his
think...
His was really loud, though.
No, it wasn't. It was actually... You were not there at Gary Herbert's then, and you certainly weren't there at Bennett's, because that was something to
was
behold.
Okay.
So I'm saying it wasn't the majority. Everyone knew that was going to happen, and to Romney's credit, he decided to show up. Now, Romney is not probably the best public speaker we're going to hear, but he showed up, And he delivered a message that got repeated, which is a win in a news cycle or in a communication cycle. So I think this was actually a smart strategic move by the Romney campaign, because he could have taken a pass. He could have sent in a video, and he knew what was going to happen. It was not a surprise that he was not met. And I think it was a smart move. And for the first time in months, you saw a cycle in which Republicans were defending Romney and defending Romney's positions and defending his independence. And so I disagree with those who just focused on a few people booing, in which I think that's just political theater, and say this was great Romney strategy. And at the end of the day, I thought he won the cycle of communications last week.
Interesting. So let's go with you, Mara, first. They adopted new leadership there. Carson Jorgensen is a name that I've been watching over the last couple of years. He only came into my purview, maybe because I don't hang out with the right people, over the gubernatorial race. I saw some videos. I saw him out campaigning. A sheep farmer. This is something new. Is this a good thing? We're kind of going out of the Salt Lake City slicker, I've got money.
Yeah, for sure. There's some authenticity there about this farmer here. Like, he is from the farm.
Don't mock.
I'm not.
Don't mock. I can see you. I can see the right grin.
No, that is not true. I spent my summers on a cattle ranch. Okay. And so this guy is real.
He is.
I think that we're all too quick to decide who he is, what team he's playing on, what kind of Republican he is. And what's intriguing to me about him is I don't think we know. And it's intriguing that he isn't going to join those well-heeled members who go to Eagle Gate Tower, which is where they have had the GOP really expensive real estate for a while. I don't think we know what's going on. His whole slate is in their 30s. I am not sure he expected this. So I don't know that he has, I'm not sure if he's decided. I think he can be a leader. I'm not suggesting that, but I think he hasn't decided. And I think he's a wild card for everybody. One thing I will say, I disagree with, he and Mr. Hughes have both stated this. He essentially, there was a little kerfuffle about some text message back and forth. I'm not interested in the kerfuffle, but I want to talk about the content. And the content was interesting because it asserts an interesting political battle, which is, does the party work for the candidates, or do the candidates work for the party, or is it one or the other? He outlined that you work for the party. And I have to say, I disagree with that. I think that the strong candidates, strong Republican candidates in Utah have not needed the party at all, in fact. I mean, I think the Democrats in many ways care more about their party because they need the collective to move themselves forward. Mm-hmm. If you're a powerful, singular elected official, you don't need the party to get reelected. So I would disagree that if he's taking a strong arm to people who are elected and saying, you need me, I'm going to suggest that he's going to come to a rude awakening in which individually elected Republicans in this state have never really needed their party.
So
they need the brand. They don't need the party.
They'll be like, all right, sheep kicker.
Yeah.
So the background, as I've learned about that, there was a text message that he would share, an informal text message that our new young 31-year-old Carson Jorgensen, a sheep farmer from rural Utah, average everyday American young father, which I love. I love all this about the Republican Party being the party of the everyday American. You know, race, color, creed, gender, you name them.
You are right in his speech
love it.
Right now.
Just absolutely love it. I really do. I'm excited for him. Didn't see it coming. I truly didn't think he was going to win. So it came to a surprise for many, but he did. He won the confidence of the delegates. So a lot of people that didn't win and were disappointed by it took a over 4-month-old text thread that was a conversation over a couple days and just shrunk it down to a couple lines. And it did sound like he was saying, you better answer to the party, you elected officials.
Who did the text go to? I guess I'm missing out on this.
Social media platforms, Facebook groups, Republican groups.
No, but
groups.
I mean, they never named who focused on.
And then the Tribune covered this kerfuffle, as it's been called. But what was going on there is, and I think that our new chairman's point was, a party's platform means something. And if you don't think that the party's platform or being a Republican means something, or that you think as a candidate the party should just morph into whatever it is that you are, then take the Republican designation off your name and run in November and see how that does. If it's all about the individual and nothing to do with that party or its platform, then run as an independent and see if you get the votes. The brand, the party does mean something. And I think he's 100% right about that. And so, look, he's not...
So is he a middleman? Does he lean to the
right?
No, look,
he's young. I think he's conservative by nature. I think if you read the party platform of the Republican Party, it's conservative by nature. But what I love the most is when this little so-called little tempest in a teapot broke out. What did this young new chairman do? There were some a state senator that had mentioned how he did not like this text. It really worried him. He just picked up the phone and gave him a ring and said, I'd love you to get to know me.
Oh, he had great instincts.
I'd love you to get to know me beyond two sentences and a two-day text from 4 months ago. I'd love to get to know you. And it disarmed this person. They're going to meet. They're going to have lunch. He is reaching out to people saying, I'd love an opportunity before you make any final conclusions to meet you, to talk, to speak with you. No one told, I don't think anyone told him that. There was an instinct to that that I think is very promising, and I could not be more excited about.
And the governor and the speaker both
Cinderella story,
him.
Yes.
I mean, they both
Everybody in. Has, and it's a Cinderella story, and I'll tell you, he won on being authentic. And I think that is something that we all want to see more of in politics is
absolutely
authenticity.
But he may be a disruptor, which I think is good fun.
And I do, too.
I think this is interesting.
I do, too. He's not born on third base and think you hit a triple is not this guy.
Yeah.
He's not. No, and the way that I kind of started noticing him was after the original primary debate for the gubernatorial election, I saw some videos he was posting. I think he was supporting Governor Huntsman. And then after Huntsman lost, I saw him kind of supporting the idea of him possibly running against Governor Cox and making a runoff race there. And I saw him doing some videos, and I saw him on his farm. And so that was the first time I kind of saw him.
I remember what I did know about Carson is that he didn't support me when I was running. So
he
I was kind of disappointed by that. But one of the things I think that he has as an advantage is that the Huntsman family, John Huntsman Jr., I think is going to be supportive and try to help this new chairman and help raise money, which if you have a family like the Huntsmans that want to be part of that and help raise money, I think that's going to bode well for the party as well. Again, I think he's going to bring a lot of people together that people don't even realize yet.
I
think
agree.
It's going to be
fun. The other thing it's going to bring up is the generationalism, right?
Yes.
Parties have a lot of old people in them.
Yes.
And that'll just be an interesting way because I think he's going to shake that up by just being him, and that will.
That's another rule he broke. A lot of young people that have run for party leadership have lost for that reason, that the general makeup of the delegates have been older, and they've not really been inclined to vote for young candidates for party leadership positions, and he broke that rule on Saturday as well.
And so, I think he'll have some hot races in 22, so he'll have a chance to.
I do, too.
It'll be exciting to watch. I know we have Senator Mike Lee's race coming up, and I think there's 9 people who are possibly considering running against him.
Do we start counting who's not running?
Yeah.
Is that
know.
What we do?
Are you, Greg?
I don't know. Wait, I love Mike. I like Mike. I'm totally in with Senator Lee. He had great hats at the convention, by the way. I've worn it a bunch of times.
Wow, you do.
Really
you
good.
Guys do like yourself some old
man
hats.
Oh, I love hats.
You know?
Yeah, it's like
what was
red?
The hat?
It's a trucker hat. It's got the mesh in the back. And it's kind of got the
what does it
tall
say
front.
On front?
It says Mike Lee, U.S. Senate.
Okay, there's
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
do you
good.
Have a trucker hat
it's
on
blue?
Right now?
Yeah, I think I do.
Your trucker hat now has some sweat stains
it
to
does.
Give you
it's
some street
gross.
Cred. There,
I
yeah.
know.
Nice.
Anyway,
nice.
Yeah. So it's got the blue and the gray. It's actually a nice hat. I've worn it a bunch.
All right.
And I don't get judged either. I wore it to Home Depot yesterday.
No, swag's important.
Yeah.
Swag is important. Are Democrats not into swag as much? I feel like
they Democrats were. Love swag.
I remember after the conventions, this was when Hillary and Trump, the first time around, were there. I remember Republicans just left because there was always confetti and signs and like booklets and everything. It was just left. And then after the Hillary Clinton one, everybody was gathering garbage bags full of it to take with them. So
yeah, we like swags. Yeah. The Democrats like swags too because we can use all the words, right?
Yeah.
So the t-shirts are funnier because we use all the words.
I know what you mean, but this is a family program, so I'm not going to
Greg,
elaborate.
Greg, I've heard you use a lot of the words.
Never.
Farm words?
No way.
Right.
I don't live on
those.
A farm.
Cody,
they
Wyoming
the people
farmer.
People who swear are actually smarter, so it's fine.
I've heard that. I've run with that.
That's what I tell myself.
I do.
I read that as well. I felt pretty good about
myself.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I'm doing all right.
I know some foul-mouthed Marine made that up somewhere on a meme, but I'm running with
it. But it's real? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to stick with it. Hey, before we go, I want to talk about former Governor Gary Herbert. He's been out of his job for about 4 months. A lot of people have been watching to see what he would do. Last time I sat down with him, he said he had a couple books he wanted to write. He's really interested in the judiciary, as in the Supreme Court, and making sure it's non-political. And where he's landed right now is that he is going to be joining the Utah Valley Chamber of Commerce as its new executive chairman. Either of you, is this a good place for him? What can he do with this?
I like it. I have some empathy here. I think I feel what he's going through. He was a popular county commissioner in Utah County, so he knows his county very well. Popular governor for over a decade. And you do. There is a joy. It's not all easy, but there is something about public service that is deep, meaningful to someone when they experience it. And when you leave it, like I have, and he has, there is a desire to serve and give back or stay in the game to some degree. You learn a lot along the way. And so I think that clearly our former governor was reached out to, had opportunities to re-engage or to make the place better than he found it as he had as our governor. And he's taking advantage of that. And I completely understand why. Public service will do that to you. It's something that it's noble, and it's something that it's an honor to be a part of. And I can see why he'd like to continue.
This seems to comport well with his sort of chamber beliefs, if you will, when he was governor. I mean, he's always been a traditional business, pro-traditional business guy. Utah County's obviously high growth area. It is interesting. This is maybe less of a cush job because associations really took a hit during everybody took a hit, right? But associations did because the company stopped giving dues a little bit to those things. And so I know this chamber, while strong, has had some struggles, some financial struggles during COVID. And so it's going to be a really big building year for this chamber. And the Salt Lake Chamber has traditionally been considered the statewide one. It'll be interesting with a former governor at a local one, if that makes a difference for the business community. But it seems to certainly comport with his worldview that he's had.
Absolutely. And I think it's a big growth area. When you look at the Silicon Slopes down there, there's a lot of younger, newer businesses coming down. And I think it's an area, I mean, there's only so much growth can happen in the Salt Lake County area. And that's an area we're looking at for growth. So, right. It's interesting to have his fingers in the pot there. Well, Greg, you said you were going to, like, what did you say? I forget what you say. You were going to, like, go
launch.
All in, go off. Launch.
Yeah, I did.
You launched, but you weren't too crazy. So.
Yeah, no, I did. I'm really excited about our new GOP chairman. I think just who he is, his age, his inexperience, I think it's all fun. I think it's going to rally people together. I think the boo birds that everyone's losing sleep over is ridiculous. And so, yeah, I got it all off my chest.
You did enough name calling, you think, to feel okay about yourself.
I do. I love it. I love, you know what? You earn your applause, you earn your boos. Just remember that, folks.
That's good to know. Those boos stick with you when you're going to sleep at night, I would assume, though.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, no one ever held back with me. I didn't see anyone losing sleep when I got heckled. How come that was all fine?
Maybe something with the egging on you were doing, perhaps, that had something to do with that relationship.
You know, leaders take it. You know what? You take it. You let them out. You take it, and you know what? You got to look inward a little bit too. If you're getting booed, you got to think about why is that happening?
Why am I getting booed? And get some self reflection.
Is it all them, or could it be me?
Could it be me? It could partially be you. Well, thank you for being with us this week. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I hope you're in the running for Mom of the Year, Mara. I'm not. I swear we learned. And I missed it on the phone. All right. There's always next year. If you like us, give us a 5-star rating. If you don't, please don't rate us at all. We'd rather not see. Have a great week and tell your friends about us.